Gleaming dully in the pale light of dawn, the saber hacked downward for Kane's face. As soon as his own blade was knocked aside, Kane launched himself forward without even trying to whirl the weapon back around into position. He tucked his chin to his clavicle and raised his right arm bent forward. The professional duelist's basket hilt slammed down with a painful force on the juncture of Kane's neck and shoulder as Kane's forearm bar caught Silvero in the armpit and blasted him backwards off balance and flailing. Kane was after him, hacking downward with the saber held in both his hands. Back on more familiar terrain, the swordsman caught himself, deflecting the stroke to his own left. The duelist staggered back, blinking, with blood streaming from his broken nose. This time, Kane gave him no chance to find his way back to the familiar continuum of sword fighting. Lunging forward, Kane grabbed the Brazilian's sword hand wrist with his left hand to control the web. Still half blind, with pain and shock of his broken nose, the duelist instinctively seized Kane's right wrist. Kane slammed his forehead down onto the bridge of Silvero's nose, knocking it askew and snapping his head back. Then he brought his right knee up hard between his opponent's legs. Kane let him fold. He released Silvero's sword arm to drop an arm onto the back of the swordsman's neck and guide his face into a rapidly rising knee. Silvero went to all fours. His head was down and streaming blood onto the ground. Kane took a step back and he heel-stomped him in the solar plexus, completely winding him. Then he walked over and stepped deliberately on the wrist of Silvero's sword hand. He ground with his heel until the fingers released the hilt. Then he kicked the saber away.
Want any more? Plenty more where that came from. I'm barely just warmed up.
Silvero lifted up his head. His face was a mask as bloody as a man flayed. He raised a feeble left hand.
No! Please, no more.
In my world, Brazilians know a thing or two about street fighting.
He thrust his own saber tip first into the turf. He turned to the referee.
Now what?
Well, the last shot to his stomach was not strictly speaking considered fair.
If you want to prop him up on his feet, I'll be happy to throw him another beating.
No. He has conceded. And I don't think it was solely due to the questionable blow. Mr. João Silvero of Belém in the Empire of Brazil has surrendered. Mr. Kane, a visitor from parts unknown, has won the duel. His honor stands vindicated.
Kane reached his left hand down to Silvero. The Brazilian stared up at him blankly. Then he clasped his subjugator forearm to forearm. Kane hauled him to his feet as if he were a child.
Thank you.
Kane shrugged and started to walk away toward Rodriguez Satterfield and his friends, who surged forward in a jubilant knot. The duelist's seconds made no move to help him. The side of the long black steam car in which Silvero and his seconds had arrived fell away. In the wag's bed was a pillar-mounted Gatling gun. Silvero danced like a puppet on a string as a stream of .45-caliber slugs sleeted through him. He was dead before he hit the ground. The bullet stream began to walk toward Kane, who had thrown himself down at the first yellow flick of a muzzle flash. Suddenly, everybody among the onlookers, including women and even a few older children, produced handguns and started returning fire. Kane watched in fascination as an elderly lady in a sunbonnet happily blasted away with a revolver seemingly as big as her own head. The gunner died almost instantly. His partner wasn't so lucky. He was caught in the explosion of the carriage's steam boiler. The audience obligingly kept firing right along, even into the sudden steam cloud that obscured the vehicle.